Here we go again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Credit rating firm Fitch Ratings analyzed a crop of so-called option adjustable rate mortgages taken out between 2004 and 2007. The conclusion? Most of them will recast to higher payments next year or in 2010, sooner than homeowners thought. Fitch says that's going to bring another spike in defaults. Meanwhile, mortgage giant Freddie Mac is expected to announce today a successful sale of $4 billion worth of long-term debt. Fannie Mae plans to auction $2 billion in short-term bonds. Over the past couple weeks, investors seem to have renewed confidence in Fannie and Freddie's securities. John Dimsdale explains what's captured investors' fancy.
Fannie and Freddie lost some $14 billion over the past year as mortgage foreclosures spread. Their crisis convinced Congress to give the Treasury Department authority to prop up the two mortgage giants with taxpayer money if necessary.
Fannie, Freddie, and FHA are the game, the only game.
Wharton School professor Susan Wachter says, along with the Federal Housing Administration, Fannie and Freddie are virtually the only financers of mortgages this year. And with the government implicitly backing their liabilities, investors feel safe.
The entire federal government has come out one way or the other in supporting this debt as quite close to Treasury debt. Thus, it's secure, and it's been clarified that it has the backing of the federal government.
Wachter says despite investor confidence, Fannie and Freddie won't be back on solid financial footing until the housing industry turns around. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
More measurements of our economy's health are due today. The government reports on July factory orders for non-durable goods. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Non-durable goods are things like clothing, food, and gas. Stuart Hoffman is chief economist for PNC Financial Services Group. He thinks orders to factories producing these products were up in July by more than 1%. But Hoffman says, remember, that number measures orders in terms of dollars, not, say, how many gallons of gas were ordered from a refiner, but how much it was worth.
Part of the increase in the number simply reflects higher prices of these goods.
By contrast, orders for non-durable goods in August are expected to be down because gas prices fell, but also because consumer demand isn't so hot. Brian Bethune is chief U.S. economist at Global Insight. He says most spending from the economic stimulus checks has fizzled out.
We're not going to get a big boost from the rebate checks for the remaining months of 2008.
Of course, that includes the all-important holiday shopping season, just around the corner. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Wall Street opened yesterday with a bang, but in the end, the day ended up being more of a hiccup. Weak technology stocks trumped the rally over lower oil prices. The Dow was down 26 points to 11,516. The Nasdaq slipped 18 to 2349. The S&P 500 lost 5 points to 1277. European shares are all lower right now. Asian markets were mostly lower today, with the Nikkei up more than 0.5%. Coca-Cola is getting ready to make its second largest acquisition ever, and that same deal would be China's biggest takeover by a foreign company. Coca-Cola is offering $2.5 billion for Chinese juice maker Huiyuan.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It's no surprise corporate America made sure to have representatives at this week's Republican National Convention and last week's DNC. What surprises commentator Robert Reich, though, is the sometimes contradictory roles those representatives have.
At the Democratic Convention last week, I kept bumping into two different kinds of corporate professionals. Most have headed over to the Republican Convention this week. One type says its job is public affairs, the other, government affairs. They sound similar, but the jobs are quite different. The public affairs types were at the conventions to bring attention to their company's commitments to social responsibility. Many of them have handouts and fancy brochures touting all the good things their firms do. The government affairs types are at the conventions to build their company's political influence. They're the ones in the skyboxes with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. The two types often work for the same big companies, but they seem to operate across purposes. For example, I met a public affairs person who talked about the great strides his company was making in green technologies. But the government affairs people from the same company have been actively lobbying against environmental laws and regulations. Another public affairs person was touting her company's dedication to its communities, gifts to local schools and playgrounds, for example. But in the skyboxes were lobbyists from the same firm that had been demanding tax breaks from those same communities as a condition for keeping jobs there. And those tax breaks have meant less revenues for local schools and playgrounds. Other public affairs people told me how much their firms value their employees, giving them more flexible work schedules and extra days off. But the same firms have been lobbying against paid family leave. I'm not suggesting hypocrisy. I mean, it's entirely possible these companies have voluntarily taken on corporate social responsibilities and don't want government to force them to do any of it. Or maybe the left hand of corporate public affairs doesn't know what the right hand of government affairs is up to. But I can't help thinking that if these companies took social responsibility seriously, they'd put a brake on their lobbying and influence peddling. Maybe they'd even avoid spending so much money on political conventions.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. You can share your thoughts at marketplace.org. This final note, how about a dollhouse for $169,000? It sounds like a lot, but a couple from Battle Creek, Michigan says they'll throw in their real house for free. Jerry and Cindy Mann hope this stunt finally attracts a buyer for their home. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thank you for joining us and enjoy your Wednesday. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.